How are you doing? A couple of you are doing good. How about, let me say that again. Good morning. How are you doing? All right. You guys are awake now. Got coffee? Oh, yes. Jeff's back there like, yes, I'm excited. Well, I'm so glad that you decided to join us this morning. I do want to encourage you. Those of you who didn't know, come out to the picnic. Even if you didn't have any food or anything, come out. It's a potluck. There's lots of people bringing food. Feel free to stop by and grab stuff if you want, but come out. It's going to be fun. And just so you know, when you get there, those of you who are going straight from here, when you get to Lemon Park, there's two playgrounds. We've got a red canopy, red for New Heart, okay? So go to the red canopy. That's where we've got set up. We staked it out. Hopefully it hasn't been stolen by now. Set it up a couple minutes ago. It's still there, I hope. I hope. So look for the red canopy and check it out. I wanted to welcome those of you who are guests with us today. I want to say thank you for joining us. We're so glad that you're here. And for those of you who are regulars, you know, a couple weeks ago I shared something that I feel like God is calling us into a new season as a church. Obviously, it's a new season. You got a new pastor. But there's a lot of new stuff. And I feel like specifically God is calling us to a season of connection. And what does that mean? That we're calling this season the season of connection. That means we're called to connect. Connect with God, as John just said, vertically. Connect with each other as a church family. But connect with our community, the people around us. And God is calling us to do those connections, to be intentional about connecting. And you'll find over the next season, we've got lots of calendar events and things that we're trying to do to really focus on just that, on connecting to God. We have a night of worship and prayer that's coming up in October. I want to encourage you to put that on your calendar and be part of that. And obviously, events like today, we're wanting to connect with one another and connect with our community by having a church picnic. That's really about getting to know one another, have a good time, let our hair down, maybe flip out a little bit, or, I don't know, get in the water, do something fun. We're going to have some fun games, so I want to encourage you to be part of that. But really, this is a season of us connecting. And I want to tell you one of the ways that that's happening. You know, we did some fall projects, kind of getting back to school projects of trying to beautify the kids' life building, the church for kids' church over there. And we did a great job. And some of you guys are like, well, what did we do that for? Part of our reason for that was we've got a lot of neighbors that come and check out our church property all the time. Don't you guys know that we're right across the street from Township Elementary School? And I haven't given you an update on this, so I feel like I want to share this with you. But every year as a church, we've tried to bless the students, the incoming students and parents on the first day of class. And we welcome them with coffee and donuts. And we did that this year. I haven't given you an update on it, so I wanted to let you know about it. And it was an awesome time where we just blessed. We don't give coffee to the kids. We only give them donuts. But if they ask for it, I guess. So we give donuts and coffee to the parents and students and teachers of a township, and they just love it. And every single day throughout the school year, if you haven't been to the church campus during the day on a weekday, there's hundreds of cars that come in and out of our church parking lot. In fact, this last week we had several parents, as we were kind of out and about in the parking lot, say, hey, you guys are doing something cool here. What are you guys doing? What's going on over there in that building? And they said the words, we were intrigued by what's going on here. And I'll tell you, that's what it's all about. We're trying to reach out and connect with our community and let them know that there's a place that cares about their kids. There's a place that cares about them because people matter, right? You guys agree with that? How many say I agree with that? All right. Well, that's what it's all about. I wanted to give you a quick recap on that because I thought that was super cool that people are starting to notice, hey, there's something going on. And as we continue to reach up, to reach in and to reach out towards our neighbors, that's exactly what's going to happen. We want to reach out to our neighbors and love on them. Well, this morning, we're going to continue. If you want to pull out your Bibles and your notes, if you got a bulletin on your way in, there's a note sheet in there. We're going to continue our series called Thrive. And in it, we're talking about the sort of life that God wants us to experience and live. And this morning, we're talking specifically about, my message today is called Hear God. Hear God, on how we can hear from God. And I thought, who better to learn how to hear from God than children? So I've got a couple of Dear God letters written by children. And here they go. The first one says this. It says, Dear God, instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you got now? Jane. Good question, Jane. Next, second question. Dear God, I went to this wedding and they kissed right in church. Is that okay? I don't know, Neil. That sounds a little weird. Number three. Dear God, in Bible times, did they really talk that fancy? Yeah. Jennifer. Be reading the King James Bible. Next one. Dear God, I think about you sometimes, even when I'm not praying, says Elliot. So cute. Next one. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Darn straight. That was my son's prayer a couple years ago when he got a brother for his birthday. Next one. Dear God, I bet it's very hard for you to love all of everybody in the whole world. There's only 4 people in our family, and I can never do it. I love that. Next one. Dear God, if you watch in church on Sunday, I'll show you my new shoes. That would be my son, Ethan, for sure. Next one. Dear God, we read Thomas Edison made light, but in Sunday school, they said you did it. So I bet he stole your idea. Very insightful, Donna. And the final one. Dear God, maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other so much if they had their own rooms. It works with my brother. I love that one. Don't you love kids? See, they're not afraid to talk to God about what's really in their mind. They have no guile. There's no filter. They just kind of share it. And I believe that's part of the reason God calls us to have faith like little children, because children aren't afraid to come up and ask questions. They're not afraid to talk with God, to be close to him. And they're not afraid to say anything that's on their mind. And I believe some of us have stopped coming to God with the big things of life and the little things of life and all the things in between for one reason or another. And I believe God wants to speak to us this morning. And he wants to remind us that of this important truth. If you're taking notes, it's the first fill in the blank. It's that God is still speaking. But the question is, are you listening? See, he's still speaking to us, but are you listening? Let me ask you a few questions with a show of hand. How many of you say you want to learn to hear from God better? How many of you say, I could learn to hear from God better? How many of you say you've got situations in your life where you need God's wisdom to know how to proceed? All right? How many of you just say flat out, I don't really know how to hear from God that well. I want to learn. Okay. Good, fair enough. You guys are all telling the truth. You have faith like children. See, of those of you who raised your hand, if I told you that there was a way to hear from God, but it might take a little bit of work, would you be still willing to raise your hand? Okay, good. You guys saw those hands, okay? There was no eyes closed. You all saw it. No, see, I believe I want to give you some tools today on how to hear from God in a practical way. How to learn to hear his voice on a regular basis. I want to show you how to begin hearing what God's saying to you, to get a pulse on what he has for you in your days ahead. See, in this series, we're talking about what it means to thrive. Our key scripture is John 10:10, and it says this. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And in this, we get this picture of a God that has a plan and a purpose for our lives, a plan not only for us to live, but to thrive, a plan for us to have an abundant life. But we also see that there's an enemy, that there's an adversary. Here the Bible calls him the thief, that has a different plan for our lives. He wants to steal. He wants to kill and destroy the plans that God has for us, the things of thriving that God desires for our lives. But here's the good news. We know the end of the story, that Jesus wins. So it's good news that, yeah, we may have an adversary, we need to know what he's up to, but we have a God that wins. And to thrive simply means this. This is the definition of thrive, if you look it up in the dictionary. It means to grow or develop well or vigorously. How many of you'd say, based on that definition, you wanna thrive? You wanna grow or keep getting better all the time? I don't know about you, but I do. I think we all have a desire to develop well, to keep growing day by day. See, the truth is that God wants our lives to thrive. And today we're going to talk about how we do that by hearing from God. See, we have to plug into the source of our thriving, and that's God himself, if we're going to thrive. If you have a Bible, you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And it says this, all scripture is breathed out by God. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. See, we're going to talk about this passage and dig into it a bit, but the most important thing I can say to you about it is this. See, friends, we need to study this book, the Bible. But more importantly, we need this book to study us. We need to submit ourselves to what this book teaches us about how to live our lives the best possible way. See, when we come to study this book, the Bible, whether it's in church on Sunday or Monday through Saturday, the purpose is not just to learn more about God, but the purpose is to learn God, to meet God himself, to meet him in his word. See, we pursue not just information, but God. And that is why we come to the Bible. See, the truth is that what you value, you will pursue. I want to show you a throwback picture of my wife, Rebecca, and I when we were little children, it seems like, a couple years ago. And we've been married for 14 years, and awesome years. We were married young. But I can think of when I first met my wife, Rebecca. I just loved being around her, and I fell head over heels in love with her. And I'll tell you what, I would just want to spend time with her day in and day out. I wanted to learn all about her. I wanted to know about her past, where she'd grown up. I wanted to know about her present, what she was into. I wanted to know her dreams for the future. I became like this virtual encyclopedia of Rebecca information, right? Because did I do it because I had to? No. I did it because I loved her, because I cared about her, because I wanted to know her more. And the truth is that we should have that same sort of steadfast desire to learn more about God. Not just information, not just facts about God. Sometimes we look at the Bible and we look at Bible study as just learning details about God. But God wants us to meet him as we study, as we come to the Bible. See, the truth is that God is still speaking through his word. If you're taking notes, that's one of the first blanks. God is still speaking through his word. And it's important to note that all that will be revealed about God has been recorded in the pages of this book. It's a closed book. What's there is there. All we need to know about God and what he's like and who he is can be found in the pages of this book. Oh, sure, we'll experience him. But all the details that we need to know are here. And the truth is that there's a lot of great writers. We live in a time and an age where there are such a thing, and I know this because Michelle works at one, as Christian bookstores. And that's a good thing. There's a lot of authors that have written good works about who God is and understanding who he is. But the truth is that those books are really all submitting themselves to this book. See, we can learn about God, but what is true about God is contained in the pages of this book. See, God wants to bring this book to bring illumination and application to our lives, to show us how to live the best way possible. See, God's word is the ultimate selfie. Some of you say, what does that even mean? In fact, I have my phone here. I'm going to take a selfie with you guys. You guys mind? I'm going to take a selfie with you guys. All right. I had a selfie stick, but I didn't bring it. All right. You guys ready? On three. One, two, three. Cheese. We live in a selfie culture. I don't get it. I don't really get it. I mean, I kind of get it, but see, in a selfie world, we want to prove that we were there. We want to prove that, hey, see me at the baseball game? You see the baseball players behind me? Look at it. I was there. We want to prove that we're there. And what a selfie does is it shows the superficial surface. It shows what we look like. It shows where we were. It shows who we are with. But see, God has given us his word to show us even deeper than that. To not just be a reflection of our outward appearance, but of the inside. Here's what Hebrews says. Hebrews 4:12 says this. It says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Get that. I don't even know the intentions of my heart on some days. Some days I have to question, why am I really doing this? But the truth is that God has said, my word, which is living and active, will help you discern even your own heart. Better than a selfie stick that'll show you where you were, God's word will show you where you are in the heart. It'll discern the intentions of your heart. See, God's word will show us things about ourselves that we don't even realize yet. It's alive and active, but we've got to come to it. See, the truth is that God is still speaking through all of the Bible, as our key scripture said. It says, all scripture. Say those words with me. All scripture. Can we say that again? That was kind of weak. Ready? All scripture. See, that means that from the front to the back of this book, it's all alive. It's all living and active. God wants to speak sometimes to the mundane things that we see in the Bible. We see genealogies and we think, man, can I just skip that? Come on, don't lie. You know it's true. And sometimes when we're going through a Bible reading plan and we get stuck in the book of Numbers or Leviticus or someplace and we feel like, God, is this really your living and active word? Can I just skip over this? But the truth is that it's all alive. It says all scripture has been breathed out by God. And he wants us to come to his word, to hear his voice, to know what he's like. See, he is speaking. We believe that it's literally God breathed. See, the Bible, though it's been written by the hands of man, we believe it was literally inspired of the Holy Spirit of God and is literally God breathed out. I'm about to drop some theological terms on you, okay? So hold on to your horses. See, we believe that the Bible contains the very words of God. Theologians would call this the doctrine of verbal plenary inspiration. Say that twice fast. And what that means is that the Holy Spirit didn't just inspire the thoughts of the Bible, he inspired the very words on the pages of Scripture. That the very details of what God speaks about in his word matter. That he wants to communicate some of who he is, of what he feels about you, of the way he feels about his creation. He wants to use the very words of God to speak that truth to us. A.W. Tozer said this. I quote him often. You may find that because I love A.W. Tozer. He says this, if you would follow on to know the Lord, come at once to the open Bible, expecting it to speak to you. Don't come with the notion that it's a thing which you may push around at your convenience. It is more than a thing. It's a voice, a word, the very word of the living God. See, that's what God's word is. God's word, secondly, is essential. The Bible is our measuring rod. You know, accuracy matters. And if you go to Washington, D.C., among other things, there's a building called the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And they do lots of things, but this facility is responsible for storing perfect samples of weights and measures. There's international bodies that do the same thing, but they have what are called prototypes of pound weights and kilograms, measuring rods for feet and yards and meters. And for example, they have something called the meter standard that's there. It's a reinforced bar of platinum alloyed with 10% iridium. I don't know why that matters, but now you know. And when they want to know the exact measurement of a meter, they cool that bar down to 0 degrees Celsius at sea level, at 45 degrees latitude. This is how precise they get. And they know at that temperature that that bar is exactly a meter. And friends, you and I also have a standard, a prototype. We have a measuring rod that never changes, that tells us about the best way to live our lives. That teaches us about who God is and what he desires for us. See, God's word is our standard. See, our scripture today says that God's word is profitable. Say profitable. Profitable. That's not just about making money. It's profitable for what? It says it's profitable for teaching others. See, the God's word should always be the foundation of what we teach, of our understanding of who God is and what he's like. It's our standard. It's our measuring rod to show what he's like. When we need wisdom about an issue, we go to God's word and say, God, what do you have to say about areas like my finances, areas like my marriage, areas like my relationships, like the way that I treat my wife or my children? God, what does your word teach me about those things? See, it's also profitable for reproof, for correction. See, God doesn't change. We have a scripture in every four square church right behind me. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Some of us change. We have politicians all the time that say, well, my ideas have changed. I used to believe this, but now I believe this. And whether you like them or not, they change their ideas. The truth is that God doesn't change. His ideas on marriage, his ideas on our the way that we live our lives hasn't changed because he wants us to live the best way possible, a way that will allow us to thrive. And so we come to the Bible as our source of truth. God also doesn't contradict himself. See, the Bible is very clear on many different subjects, and God doesn't contradict himself. I've heard people throughout my time as a pastor say, I feel God is calling me to do this. And I say, well, the Bible doesn't say you to do that. God doesn't contradict himself. If you think you're hearing God say go this way and his word says this, I think you should check your ears. You're not hearing him correctly. See, the truth is that it is good. It's profitable for reproof, for correction. I'll tell you, friend, if you're not being challenged when you open this book, you might not be listening because it's challenging. The word of God is also profitable for training in righteousness. See, study and reflection on God's word not only informs and corrects us, but it trains us, it prepares us for the things that lie ahead. Let me tell you something that's true. God has made available for you today the seeds that you'll need tomorrow to be fruitful. Let me say that again. God has made available for you today the seeds that you'll need to be fruitful tomorrow. See, so very often we have no idea what the future holds. Oh, we can plan and we can strategize and we can project what we think's gonna happen. But so very often, I can tell you time and time again in times of my life where I've come to the Word and God has been setting me up and I don't even know it. He's been preparing me to go through the storm that I don't even see on the horizon yet. And it's not until I find myself at the threshold of that storm of life that I realize that God, as I've come to his word over those past weeks and months, was setting me up with the ammunition I need to fight the fight that stands before me. See, God has made available those things to us. He wants to equip you for all the things you'll need for your days ahead. So the question is, well, we know that God is still speaking. His word is living and active. But how do I hear him? How do we do that? I want to give you several practical steps. If you're taking notes, we're going to jam through the section, so be quick. The first is this: I have to come to him and listen. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. See, I believe those things that we're passionate about we'll pursue. Don't you know that? We'll pursue those things. See, in my marriage, I don't pursue my wife out of obligation. I don't do those things because I have to. I don't have her on my to-do list. That's why I spend time and talk with her. Oh, there's times when I should put her on my to-do list. I need to put reminders. I need to put boulders in my life to carve out time. But I don't pursue my wife because I have to. I do it because I want to learn about her, because I love her. See, that doesn't mean it's not hard work sometimes. Sometimes it is. See, but the truth is, every relationship in our life takes work. See, I have to pursue my children, for example, to know what their passions are, to know what their bends are, to know what they're passionate about, what they're good at, where their weaknesses are, so that I can parent them well. And the same is true, although in a very different way, in our relationship with God. We have to pursue him. See, the only way we can grow in our understanding about God is not just learning facts about God, but it's with being with God. Just as those children prayed those simple prayers, sometimes we need to do just that. One of my favorite passages of scripture is in Acts 4:13. It's what I hope and pray the world around me would say about me. Acts 4:13 says this: now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated common men, and they were astonished. Say astonished. They were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Friends, is the world around you astonished at what Jesus has done in your life? See, I believe that's the kind of story that God wants for each and every one of us. I hope that people would say of me, man, that guy was just a normal guy. He must have been with Jesus. There's something different about him in his life. Not in a weird, creepy kind of way. Not in one of those, oh, that guy's a Jesus guy. No, no, no. They would be astonished about what God had done. See, knowing the radical love of Jesus is important, but experiencing it, being with God, changes us in a way that nothing else does. See, the truth is, if you've lost that passion, some of us, we start off strong, kind of like in a race, like a 30-mile bike ride. You're crazy, Kathy. 30-mile bike ride, we start off strong, and then we start to taper off. That'd be me, not Kathy. That'd be me on a bike. Start off strong first mile, and then we start to taper off. And when we lose that passion, all we have to do is simply ask God, would you reignite that passion in me again? So secondly, we come to God and listen. Second, we got to start small, but start now. Stop waiting around for next week or next year. I'll start a new Bible plan at the beginning of the year, or I'll do it next month. Start small, but start now. Jesus said this when he taught us to pray. He said, pray this way, give us this day our daily bread. See, that's not a call to hoard up for ourselves food for the whole week on Sunday morning. It's saying, God, we need to come to you every day and ask you to speak to us, ask you to nourish us spiritually. See, start right where you are. Get into a Bible reading plan. I want to call and challenge each one of us as a church to get into God's word. In fact, out in the lobby, I put together a Bible reading plan. This is actually based on Wayne Cordero's Life Journal reading plan. And it doesn't matter how you do it. If you got an app, there's an app for that. There's the YouVersion app. You can subscribe to the Life Journal reading plan. You can get the Life Journal, which I think I've got a picture. Hello, I've got a picture for you to see. Can you put the picture up? I've got a picture up, but there's a Life Journal you can pick up. You can do the app, or you can grab one of these. But I want to challenge you to get into God's word, to make a commitment to doing that, to starting small. Sometimes we'll even come into a Bible reading plan like this, and this is a great Bible reading plan, by the way, but sometimes we can look at this and be like overwhelmed. Start small. There's like 3 chapters on here a day. Hey, start with 1 chapter. Start with the New Testament scriptures. Start small, but start now. If you got to start with part of it, do it. Don't set a goal to read 100 chapters a day if you've never done it. It's kind of like working out. You can say, oh, I'm going to work out 3 times a day. No. Start with once a week. Don't be crazy, and then work your way up. Start to build that momentum. So start small, but start now. Thirdly, we've got to come with open eyes and ears. We've got to come with eyes and ears open. We have to come receptive to hearing from God. See, sometimes we have to humble ourselves and say, God, would you speak to me? That's the most important part of our time in God's word. In fact, in the pages, the front page of all of my Bibles, you can see it here. I always write this scripture, and it's Psalm 119:18. It says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And I'll tell you, every time I come to this word, I pray that prayer. Lord, would you open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your law? See, God wants us to hear from him. But sometimes we have to come and open our eyes intentionally, wipe the sleep out of our eyes to do that. Fourthly, we've got to come prepared. I've got to come, and I want to give you a couple practical things of how to come prepared. First of all, we've got to remove distractions. Don't come at 6 in the morning if you're a night owl. Don't come to the Bible at 6 a.m. because you think it's the holy time to read your Bible. If you're a morning person, don't try it late at night, right? You got to remove distractions. I've tried to do my devotions at my desk at the office, and that never works because I see a pile of work that's screaming my name. So you've got to remove distractions when you come to hear from God. Secondly, bring a journal. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be a notepad. It could be a Moleskine. It could be Evernote if you're into that. Moleskine's a journal, by the way. I'm not talking about a mole. Okay. It could be Evernote. It could be one of those life journals. Doesn't matter what it is, but bring a journal ready to jot down what you hear from God. Here's a tip. A lot of you are journalers, so you're all professionals. But if you've never journaled before, one of the things I suggest is as you're reading scripture, say, God, would you speak to me just one thing I can apply to my life today? Not 20 or 30 or 40 or a million things, because then we'll just sit there writing and never retain anything. But this is my prayer. I pray, God, speak to me just one thing. Point out one thing you want me to do in my life. And then as we're writing, there's actually a great resource inside of this reading plan called SOAP. How many of you guys have heard of SOAP before? I'm not talking about what you used, hopefully, in the shower today. But SOAP stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. And so what it is as I'm reading, I say, God, point one thing out that you want to speak to me. And as I pull out my journal when I'm done, I'll write that one scripture out. They say, if you ink it, you think it. So sometimes writing out that scripture helps me to learn it even more. And then I'll write out the O. What's the observation? What is God teaching me about who he is and what he's like? What is he showing me about who I am and how I'm supposed to live? And then A, application. I'll write it out. What do I feel God is asking me to do in light of what I've just heard? God, how do you want me to live differently today because of the scripture? And P for prayer, I'll write out. And it feels awkward to write your prayer. Can I just say that? Sometimes it's awkward to do that. But it's important. Sometimes I'll say things as I'm putting pen to paper or words to screen that I never would think as I'm praying. But write out our prayer. So bring your journal. Next, bring your to-do list. This is something I learned from Wayne Cordero. I love this. It never fails that when you sit down and you're trying to be close to God and hear from God and come to the Word, that a metaphorical squirrel will run by. You know what I'm talking about? How many of you guys have that kind of thing happen? It's like, it doesn't matter what it is. It'll be, I start to read and, oh, Lord. Oh, I had to call John today because he texted me last night. And I'm supposed to call him back. Or, oh, did I pay the electric bill? Or, hey, was I supposed to do that? Those things always come up. So I want to encourage you, bring a piece of paper, bring your to-do list. If you got an app, pull out the app. As long as it's not going to be a distraction, when those ideas come into your head, just write them down, get them out of your head. Got to get a squirrel cage for those metaphorical squirrels that come in your way. So you got to be prepared. That happens to us all. And finally, we've got to protect the time that we've set aside for God. This is so important because life gets busy. Life will get in the way every single time if we're not careful. We've got to be careful to protect the time. Just like any other habit in our life, there's a season you may need to write it in your calendar. This is my appointment with Jesus. This is my time with God. Protect it. Fight for it. No one else will fight for it in your life but you. So you've got to struggle to fight for those things. Is that the Lord? See, the truth is that God is still speaking, and he wants us to have ears to hear from him. And sometimes it takes intentionality, but I promise you this, if you will commit to coming to God, to doing those tips, to kind of clearing out the space to hear from him, he'll speak to you powerfully in a way that will change your life forever. Would you bow with me for prayer as we conclude our time? Close your eyes, bow your heads. Father, we invite you to speak. See, this morning as I spoke about believing God and trusting God and hearing from God, I believe the Lord was challenging some of you to connect yourself to the source of thriving, to God himself. See, I believe that some of you have been living in a land of famine, just like our state is in a state of drought. Sometimes we live in dryness, and it's not because God is not available, just because we haven't made ourselves available to God. Maybe you've neglected to come to God. Perhaps your life has become too busy. God is calling you to come back, to slow down, to spend time with him. He doesn't want to just be part of your Sundays. He wants to be part of your everyday. If that's you and God is calling you to reconnect, you can pray something like this in your heart. Father, I thank you for giving me your source of thriving, which is your spirit, which is time with you. Help me to come to you regularly, to open my ears to hear from you. Help me to start small, but start now. Help me to come with eyes and ears open, and I ask you to speak to me as I come near to you. Help me to hear from you again, Lord. Finally, with every head bowed and eye closed in this place, I want to make an opportunity for anyone that's here within the sound of my voice that's never taken the first step of faith. You need to receive God's radical love for you for the very first time. Now, you may have been in church before, but you've never surrendered your life to the care and control of Almighty God. And you need to accept God's free gift of grace and mercy for the first time. If that's you, I don't believe you're here by accident, but God wants you to receive his free gift of grace and salvation. If that's you, I want to pray with you. And I'm not going to ask you to come down front or do anything strange, but with every other head bowed and eye closed across this place, if that's you, would you raise up your hand? Be brave to raise up your hand and say, I want to pray with you. I want to agree with you in prayer today. Anyone in this place, from the front to the back? Thank you. Church, can we pray this prayer aloud? Repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, you've said all I have to do is come to you with faith, and you would hear me. So as best as I know how, I come to you. I ask you to forgive my sins. Help me change my life. I put my trust in you, Jesus. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, church, let's go out of here singing. Would you stand with me as we conclude our time with worship?
Holy is the Lord. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down.